All right, we'll say good evening. Let's continue again. A yashar koach to Yonah and to Shushi for hosting. Yashar koach to David for picking up the extra mashka. Yashar koach. All right, so we'll say so with that. So the good news is we didn't get too far last week. I mean, it's not good news. We got far. You know, as we've all seen, you know, the beauty of this limud is that the amount you cover is not really determined by the number of pages or the number of lines. But as you saw again, we only did a couple of lines last week, but you saw those couple of lines took us in such dramatically different directions. So again, just a quick review of everything we covered last week. So last week we discussed the idea that in order for that learning Torah creates chaim. Torah creates a sense of an Adam, or how do we translate chaim last week? Which has that as favor or grace. So the idea is that Torah creates chaim. But what Rabbi Nachman was doing with that is that in order for one's tefillos to be accepted by the Ribono Shel Olam, one must find chen be'enei Hashem. One must find, like Noach matza chen be'enei Hashem, Noach found favor in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to have my tefillos accepted, I too have to be able to find favor, to find chen in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So remember, what's the challenge with that? The challenge is that Rabbi Nachman writes that since the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, the chen has left Klal Yisrael, and has ultimately gone to the Ummah Sol, has gone to the nations of the world. So how do we regain our chen? So Rabbi Nachman suggests it's through Torah. When you learn Torah, which again, we'll develop this idea, when you learn Torah, Torah endows you with chen, and when you have chen, when you daven, your tefillos are able to be accepted. And that's why, again, you know, I was actually just covering these halachas. It's always interesting when you see Hasidic practice, so it seems to veer off often from what it says in the Shulchan Aruch. So of course, the example that everybody knows is where Hasidic practice is davening, right? Zmani Tefillah. So again, there's a whole, you shouldn't think like, it's not like haphazard, there's a whole shita with it. The other interesting piece where this comes up is learning before davening. So in Hasidus is a big concept of learning before davening. The Shulchan Aruch actually paskins the lechatchila, it may actually be preferable not to learn prior to davening. And the reason for that, the Shulchan Aruch paskins, is that really one's not supposed to do anything prior to davening. Davening is supposed to be the first thing. Now the truth is, even today, so the halacha says, if you daven with a minyan b'kvios, let's say I daven every morning at 6:45, 7 o'clock, 7:15, whatever time a person davens, so as long as I know I'm davening in a set minyan, I can learn beforehand. But this idea, but according to Rabbi Nachman, it makes so much sense, because Torah gives a person chen, gives a person favor. That chen is necessary for the tefillah experience. When you have chen and you enter into davening, your davening is fundamentally different. And again, the truth is, you don't need Rabbi Nachman to teach you this. We know that. There's a different daven. You go from a shir, and you go, this is not like a plug for Daf Yomi, but you know, when you go, good evening, gentlemen. When you go ahead and you go from a shir, ultimately, it's 9 o'clock. No. I realized I probably confused people last week. Because I said,
I was trying to find a place to park my 95 Henry.
The public school parking lot? Okay, is that?
Okay. Please, no cars more than 2012, please.
They will be towed. So the idea that Rabbi Nachman says is, we know a person learns before davening. So my davening is just different. It's just a different davening. And I will say, it's the same idea that when I go ahead and I learn, so I feel like a different person. It's just, again, Rabbi Nachman's telling us, so we all feel it. Rabbi Nachman's saying, I want to tell you what you're feeling. What you're feeling is that when you learn, you're now beginning to feel that you actually possess chayim. That's what you're beginning to feel. Okay, now with that, let's continue on paragraph B. Well, so anyone have a dedication for the Talmud Torah? I'm saying, are there any yard sites or anything? Did anyone?
Yeah, my grandmother's yard site is Shabbos.
How are you? What's your name? Do you have a pen? The pen on you. Thank you.
Ask the lawyer.
Thank you. Wow. Okay, so what's that? So we dedicate our learning tonight to the Ilo Nishma Sultana Baschana, and hope that on the merit of our Talmud Torah, from the Sham will have an Aliyah. So let's pick up by paragraph B. Ki ish ha-Yisraeli tzarech tamid lehistakil b'haseichel shal kol davening. I will say, now this I was thinking about this today, and this mamish, like, you know what's interesting also, the other piece that's really great, is when you learn also, you're learning different things, so over time you begin to see things coalesce a little bit. So like, so in 5:45 in the morning we learn Mesilas Yesharim. So I want to tell you something amazing. It all comes together. So Rabbi Nachman says over here that the Jew, Tzarich Tomid Lehistakil B'Haseichel Shel Kol Dover. The Jew has to look at the seichel of everything. What do you think that means? The Jew has to look at the seichel of everything.
Why?
Say that?
The why.
What do you mean?
What's behind it?
What's behind it? Meaning not just enough to do, not just enough to do, but a person should contemplate the reasons as to why they're doing it. So that's an interesting approach. Remember, Rabbi Nachman, as we'll see, doesn't necessarily subscribe to that idea. Did I mention last week about how Rabbi Nachman learned? I think I mentioned this, right? Skip. Not skip. Just go forward.
You don't have to have an answer to everything.
You don't have to have an answer to every single thing. Good. So that's one possible guy was saying. What else could it mean? To understand the stakel ba'aseichel shel kol davar.
The wisdom behind everything.
What does that mean?
That's the layer of every concept, meaning beyond just the simple.
Give me an example. I'm going to take away your chicken.
Are we talking about things you do or things you're observing?
Oh, so Rabbi Nachman is not saying it. I'll take it like this. So listen to this. You know, we were just doing this in the Mesilas Yesharim. So Mesilas Yesharim up to Parak Yutes, which is the Midas HaChasidus. So remember that Ramchal Moshe Chaim Lotzato lives in the late 1600s, early 1700s. Another story with the Ramchal, did I tell you? Stop me if I told you things before. The Ramchal Moshe Chaim Lotzato, did I say this to you last week? Okay, so this is really amazing. So the Ramchal, you know, Shabtai Tzvi has his whole debacle in 1666. He reveals himself as the Messiah. Turns out, of course, he's a false Messiah, and ultimately goes and leads a whole bunch of people off the derech as a result. After Shabtai Tzvi, anyone who was teaching Mariana Kabbalah was suspected of being a Sabbatian, a closet follower of Shabtai Tzvi. So listen to this. So the story goes like this. Moshe Chaim Lotzato was teaching a group of Talmidim, and he's teaching them Kabbalah. Teaching them Kabbalah, very quiet, under the radar, not making a big deal of it. One of his students reports that in the Shir, that Ramchal said that there was a particular passage in the Zohar that he didn't understand, and a Malach came and taught him the passage in his dream. Now, we don't know whether the Ramchal actually said that or not, but that's what got out. And once that got out, so they banned the Ramchal from teaching Torah, from teaching Kabbalah. But you know, once you got blacklisted in terms of potentially being a follower of Shabtai Tzvi, can you imagine this? And Moshe Chaim Lotzato, can you imagine, like, Moshe Chaim Lotzato shows up at TA and, you know, hi, you know, I heard you have an opening for like a third grade Rebbe. And they check out his references and they say, sorry, can't hire you here. He Pashit can't get a job anywhere. He can't get a job being a Malamed Dardiki, he can't get a job in the Cheder, in the Yeshiva, nothing. He becomes an optician. Optician, right? Some of these classes, optician. Imagine the Ramchal, Moshe Chaim Lotzato, can't find a job teaching Torah to even children, becomes an optician. Finally, things become so miserable, he decides to make Aliyah. He goes to Eretz Yisrael. So there are conflicting accounts. So some say that he was killed by the Arabs. Others say that his entire family just died in a plague, tuberculosis, within a couple of months after arriving in Eretz Yisrael. Point is, Ramchal had a terribly tragic and difficult life. So Ramchal, in the midah of chassidus, so according to Ramchal, what's the definition of a chassid? Remember again, he's not talking about Baal Shem Tov chassidus because he lives before the Baal Shem Tov. Or actually he's a contemporary of the Baal Shem Tov. So according to the Ramchal, what is chassidus? And this, listen to this, it's very important. He says, a chassid, there's a good Jew and there's a chassid. So what's a good Jew? A good Jew does what the Ribbono Shel Olam asks. So the Ribbono Shel Olam tells me not to wear shatnez, I'm not going to wear shatnez. Ribbono Shel Olam tells me to give tzedakah, I'm going to give tzedakah. I'm a good soldier, I'm going to follow orders. What does a chassid say? A chassid says, okay, the Ribbono Shel Olam told me to do X. The fact that he tells me to do X indicates that there is something about this, there's some need to hear that the Ribbono Shel Olam desires. I'll give you an example, just a simple example. The Ribbono Shel Olam tells us to give tzedakah. Gives us give tzedakah. So we'll say, so what is the underlying divine wisdom of tzedakah? What's the message that the Ribbono Shel Olam is broadcasting through the midst of tzedakah?
Rachmanis.
Rachmanis. Rachmanis. That you have to take care of the other. That although sometimes, have a good night. That although sometimes it has the appearance, although sometimes we get so caught up in our own lives, like the Bible said, this is my simchal yom. We get so caught up in our own lives and our own problems and our own family and our own children that we forget to look beyond our Dalet Amos. So what does the Ribono Shalom say? There's a mitzvah of tzedakah, but the message of that is, I want you to be concerned with the welfare and the life of others. I don't want you just to live your life on your own. I want you to be actively concerned with the other. So I'll say, so now a person takes that mindset and a person says, okay, I have to be concerned with the realities, the life of another. And by the way, it's not just not giving money. So what it means is, I know that someone's in trouble. I'm going to reach out to them. I know that someone needs help. I'm going to reach out to them, not just with my checkbook, but again, with my hands, to be able to do something. That's a zemchaz, a chassid. A chassid is someone who not only does the mitzvos, but sees the embedded divine message and hierarchy of values in each and every mitzvah. That's what Rabbi Nachman is saying over here also. This is an incredible idea. He says, Ki ish ha-Yisraeli. It's the beauty of Likutei Moharan. It's going to take us a very, very, very long time to finish this sefer. I mean, we might be bringing our grandchildren to this year by the time we're getting. But again, you see, like, here's one line, and this is like a gold mine. See, he says, every single Jew, tzarech tamid lehistakel, thank you, lehistakel b'haseichel shal kol davar. It's not just enough to do the mitzvos. When I have a mitzvah, I have to think about, what is the message that Ribono Shel Olam is giving me through this mitzvah? We'll say, we put on tefillin every single morning. What's the message of tefillin? What's the message of tefillin? Oh, so if you think about it, so the Ma'asharity in Berachas says, the message of tefillin is you put the tefillin on your moach, on your mind, and by your heart, by your neshama. So the idea is that I'm supposed to use my intellect, my emotion, my arm, my physical prowess, all for Avodas Hashem. That somehow if you're blessed with intellect, whether that's intellect or street smarts, you have to figure out to use that not just to grow your business, but you have to figure out how to use that to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Person has physical vigor, vitality, strength, person has to use that to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Person has incredible emotion and passion, person has to channel that to use that towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's the Rebbe saying, that a Jew always has to look v'haseichel shel kol davar. You know, you could be a very good behavioral Jew and observe all the mitzvos and avoid skila or strefa or chenek and all that kind of stuff, but you could still be totally missing the mark, right? This is our challenge of our dar. The truth is, our challenge is not with observance. That's not, because the truth is, we live in an unprecedented time where observance is no longer a challenge. If we're honest with ourselves, right? We'll say, I know my grandfather told me when he came to this country, he originally went to New York, and he have a job, and he would tell his employer that he's not coming in on Shabbos, and the employer would say, Mr. Weiss, if you're not coming in on Shabbos, don't bother showing up on Monday. And week after week after week, he loses a job. That's what it meant to be a Shomer Shabbos Jew in the 1950s. Today, Pashut, if your employer would do that, first of all, you would hope for that because you could sue, right? And man, you could retire on the settlement. It would be wonderful for religious discrimination. We live in an unprecedented time. So our challenge is no longer observance. Our challenge is actually what Rabbi Nachman is saying over here. To not just observe, but to understand, like, what's the seichel behind it? Like, what is the message that Ribono Shel Olam is broadcasting to me? And how do I take that message and apply it in other areas of life? He goes on. Kedei, sheyer lo haseichel, sheyesh b'chol davar. Because what I said, the idea is, a person wants to be able not just to do the mitzvos, but a person wants to be able to take the deeper chachma in every single mitzvah with them. You want to attach yourself to the seichel, to the wisdom that is in every single mitzvah, in order that ultimately the wisdom in every single act becomes luminescently clear to you. And what's the chap? The chap is that if a person understands the seichel and everything, if a person understands the wisdom, so what happens? So what happens here? So what happens if a person understands? Smell the wings. That was a person understands the seichel and everything. So what happens? So suddenly again, a person goes ahead and comes closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But say, you hear this, Chav? You see, there are two ways you could do a mitzvah. You could do a mitzvah, just get it done. Okay, whatever. Here are the obligations. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Get the obligations done. Gamarnu. I'm done. Or a person could try to dig deep and understand what's the seichel, what's the logic, what's the wisdom, and I want to connect to that deeper level. So we'll say, what's the chilek between just behaviorally doing the mitzvah and understanding the deeper wisdom? The distinction is the following. If all you're doing is getting it behaviorally done, does that bring you closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Probably not. Probably not. It's like lahavdil, you know, you could buy your wife the nicest anniversary gift, and if you walk in the house, you say, oh, you know, it's been such a long day, happy anniversary, you throw the gift on the table and you go take a nap on the couch, right? So generally, it's not going to get you very far, right? But 1 second, but I bought you the present, right? I did it, right? First of all, I remember the anniversary. That's a milah by itself. Number two, I bought you a really nice gift. That's a milah. Number two, I wished you a happy anniversary. That's a milah. Also, I didn't throw it at you. I just threw it towards you. That's a milah as well. But of course, you know, again, so you can spend thousands of dollars on a beautiful gift and it's going to get you nowhere. Why? Why? Because you didn't really understand what it's supposed to represent. So the Rebbe is suggesting over here that sometimes, and we, by the way, I think we all struggle with this in different ways, because sometimes we're often very meticulous in doing the mitzvahs, and yet we wonder, like, why am I not feeling it? Like, why don't I keep Shabbos, so why don't I feel Shabbos? I do chesed, I try to do chesed. It's like, why don't I feel it? I give tzedakah, I learn to, why don't I feel it? No question. You're saying acharei pu'ulos nimshachos halevavos. Our actions create the feelings. There's no question. And remember, I take your point even a step further. Obviously, the way one's Yiddishkeit starts is just through habituation, right? In the beginning, when we try to train our children in mitzvos, we're not explaining to them the deeper meaning of things, the deeper seichel. We're saying this is what the Ribbono Shel Olam asks of us, so we do it, and we create regulated or regular behaviors. Rabbi Nachman is talking about now a higher level. And the problem, of course, is that very often, just still, even as adults, we're very into mechanistic Judaism, but we're not really growing as a result of our Yiddishkeit. And the Rebbe is just suggesting that at the end of the day, the reason for that just is because we're not looking deeper. So he's not saying, this is not the place to start. This is the place to graduate to. I'm doing the mitzvahs already. I'm making myself a generous person, a kind person. That's all very nice. But sometimes I'm still at that impasse. I have to ask myself a very simple question. What does the Ribbono Shel Olam want me to take from this mitzvah? Not just like, what are the details of the performance of the mitzvah? What does the Ribbono Shel Olam want me to learn from this mitzvah? What's the seichel of the mitzvah? And once you know that, then by definition, again, that's what brings me close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He says, "Liskari v'Hashem Yisbarach ayde osa davar." Once you understand the seichel of the mitzvah, you understand not just the mechanistic details, but what I'm supposed to learn from it, that's when I come close. Ki ha-seichel hu or gadol, u-meyer lo b'chol durachav. Because ultimately this seichel, right, this understanding of the divine will based in mitzvos, is a great light. And when you tap into that seichel, you become luminescent as well. Okay? It's good so far?
But at what point does a person become content? Should a person or can a person become content with certain things that are difficult for that person? I do it because that's what the teacher said, and sometimes as simple as that. Meaning, it doesn't necessarily do anything for me, or it doesn't necessarily... there's a certain aspect to that. I'm not saying universal to do that in general, but you know, that I can't imagine that creates the same ability long term. But on a certain level, that'd be almost...
You're seeing what? That there's a mitzvah that I just can't find a deeper meaning in it? I just can't find the seichel?
I don't find shatness particularly inspiring.
It doesn't strike a chord or resonate with me. does that tell me that that's my avoda to find meaning to it, or sometimes it's to be accepting of this is the Yerusha's Ratzon, and I do it because that's what the Yerusha says. And there's a certain aspect of my Rosh Hashanah where I subjugate myself to his will, even if I don't understand it, or if it doesn't give me the fuzzies inside.
Right. It's a good shot. So I would divide it into two pieces. First of all, I'll say, there's an interesting discussion in general. You know, we all have areas in which we struggle. All of us have areas in which we struggle, right? So, I'll tell you, there's an amazing vart by the Arizal. This is mamish like esoteric stuff, but it really is. So I can tell you these words. I don't necessarily know exactly what it means, but we'll grapple with it together. The Arizal says like this. He says, how is it that every single person has an area of struggle in life? We all have it. Some of us have big struggles, some of us have, like all of us, I'll give you like this. We're not going to take a poll, but I would venture to say that many of us do tshuva for the same things every single Rosh Hashanah. Don't disagree, right?
I'm saying
the things that we personally struggle with, I can only speak for myself. That's right. It's interesting, though. It's not the pshat that, you know, like, I never really murdered before, and this year, like, mamish, I murder. Like, it's a new, like, panim chadoshos ba'olakan, like, it's new averus. That's not usually what happens. Usually what happens is, I struggle with this, and I've been struggling with this for, like, the last 10 years. And I've had ups, I've had downs. It's the same struggle over and over. So sometimes it's very defeating in nature. Because you come around like to another Rosh Hashanah, I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm still struggling with the same exact thing. And I tried, I know I was, and I might have even been a little bit better last year. I can't believe it. So there he is, this is something amazing. Now Rizal says, and again, without getting into it too much, he says that we have a concept of Gilgal. So what's Gilgal? Now, by the way, Gilgal is different than reincarnation, right? Because reincarnation, you could come back like this. Right? So that's not what we mean by Gilgal. Gilgal, the Arizal says, there are 600,000 neshamas. Obviously, those neshamas are trunk neshamas. Each of those trunks has multiple branches. That's constant of bashert, two neshamas from the same trunk. But there's a certain number of neshamas, which means that neshamas get recycled. Why do neshamas come back? It's very simple, you saw, says the Arizal. If someone does not finish their avoda in this world, the Ribono Shel Olam sends the neshama back to be able to finish the job. That's the Ribono Shel Olam does. So Arizal says something amazing. He says, if you find yourself struggling with a particular thing, that means you're a Gilgal of a person who had that same struggle in a previous life and was unable to resolve it in the previous life, and you're back here to get it right. Isn't that amazing, Yisod? I'm back here to get right the thing that my previous Gilgal was not able to do. So he says, because sometimes we wonder, like, why do I struggle with this thing so ridiculous? I'm able to manage all the other areas of my life, and yet there's this one, two, three, whatever it is, number of things that I just can't get under control. Oh, that's why you're here. You know, everybody wonders, like, what's my purpose in this world? To perfect the thing that you struggle with most is your very purpose of existence.
Rav Tzadik says that.
I'm sorry?
Rav Tzadik says
that. It's originally the Arizal. So we'll say it's an incredible, incredible yisod if you think about it, no? So, no?
Yeah.
Just people are tired. tough crowd. Okay, I think it's life altering because suddenly what it does is it takes a challenge that I may be grappling with and I may have been grappling with for years, and it takes it from like a challenge to suddenly an avoda. Like, oh, it's not the pshat that I'm like messed up and that's how I'm dealing with this. It's that my neshama was put back into this world to get this right. Somebody before me didn't get it right. I'm here again to get it right. And my goal is that by the time I leave this world after 120, I got it right. That's my life avoda. So that my neshama does not have to come back another time to be able to rectify this thing. So, Rabbi Yaakov, speaking to your point, so it's quite possible that if there are things that I struggle with, so the first thing always is, a person has to ask themselves, why am I struggling with this particular mitzvah? But you have to be like most things, you have to be self-aware. Why am I struggling with it? And we'll say that's a very hard question to ask, right? Sometimes a person struggling with, you know, There's the famous Svarat. This is why things are so long, because everything leads into something else. You know, there's the famous Svarat, Reharim Shmuel Evans. So remember, David HaMelech, when his son Avshalom revolts against him. So what happens? David decides to run away, and he doesn't want to confront Avshalom. As he's running away from Avshalom, so one of Shaul's cousins, a guy by the name of Shimi ben Gera, comes out and starts cursing at David, throwing stones at him, mamish, getting what you deserve. So David's general, Yoav, wanted to kill Shimi ben Gera. And David says to Yoav, back off, I'm getting what I deserve. This is my punishment for Bathsheba, all the others, leave it alone. Fast forward, David HaMelech is on his deathbed, he calls in Shlomo. He says, Shlomo, listen, he gives him a whole list of instructions. Among them is? He says, take care of Shimi ben Gera. Take care. Like have him fitted, you know, for concrete shoes. You know, take care of him. He doesn't say kill him, he says take care of him. So something, listen to this, my son. So Shlomo HaMelech, very next, David dies, Shlomo becomes king, first order of business, he calls in Shimi ben Gera. He says, Shimi, here's the deal. Here's the deal. I'm giving you an estate in Yerushalayim, and I'm going to support you from the king's table. Okay? One condition. You can never leave Yerushalayim again. I will say, I don't know about you. If somebody offered me that deal, I would not even wait to finish the shir. Right? Mamish, not even a shayla. Like, are you kidding? Who? Palatial estate? Palatial estate? You don't have to work? You live in Yerushalayim, you're a Kodesh? What's going on? Beautiful. What's the very next chapter? Navi says, one of Shimi ben Gera's slaves escaped. Shimi got on his donkey, rode out of Yerushalayim to go ahead and catch the slave. He left Yerushalayim. Shlomo summons him, says, listen, you violated the terms, and had Shimi ben Gera executed. So asked Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, obviously this was a setup. Shlomo knew that Shimi was going to leave Yerushalayim, so what's the pshat? So Reb Chaim Shmulevitz says something amazing. He says, Yerushalayim, Ir HaKodesh, is the most wonderful place to be if you're there of your own free will. But the moment that someone tells you you have to do something, it's only a matter of time until you find a way to flex your muscles of self-autonomy. In other words, don't tell me what to do. Well, say, it's an amazing thing. As children develop, what's the first word they're able to articulate? No, right? Isn't that amazing? Now, people often think because it's monosyllabic, that's why. The truth is, it's not the pshat that I think, it's not the pshat that it's monosyllabic. It's that what's the first thing that a child wants to do? As soon as a child begins to gain some sense of self, what does the child want to do? What does the child want to do? Child wants to show the parent, don't tell me what to do. Don't tell me, I need a gather. Right? Right? I'm the man. I'm two already. You know, I can handle, again, you know, I'm not toilet trained, but I can handle myself. Right? Don't tell me what to do. But the truth is, most of us grow up into big babies. And we make a lot of mistakes in life simply because we don't like being told what to do. So whether it's rebelling against parents, rebelling against authority, you know, conflict in marriage, how many times... Now, the amazing part is, no one ever says, I don't like to be... Actually, some people do say, I don't like to be told what to do. But most of us don't wear that immaturity on our sleeve. Instead, we give all other kinds of reasons. But at the end of the day, it's because don't tell me what to do. We like to be independent. Well, I said the reality is, if we're honest with ourselves, a lot of us do this with the Ribono Shel Olam as well. And that very often, when we don't keep the mitzvahs and we don't do certain things, it's simply because don't tell me what to do. Now, again, none of us are going to articulate that to the Ribono Shel Olam because we're not that brazen. But subconsciously, we do not like to be told by our wives, by our parents, by our teachers, by our friends, and even by our God, what to do. So, Rabbi Yaakov, this is a long-winded answer to your point. So, you know, if a person goes ahead and has trouble with a mitzvah, you forgot your point, right? A person struggles with a mitzvah, so your point was, do you have to find the seichel in everything, or there's some things you just do because it's the ratzon habore? Remember that?
Right. I guess more to that point was,
depends who you ask. I think Rabbi Nachman is saying that's not really the most. I think that there is a hashkafa like that. Rabbi Nachman is saying that's selling your Yiddishkeit very short. Because the Ribono Shel Olam is trying to dispatch messages to us in every single mitzvah. And if you're only doing the mitzvahs to be a good soldier, you run the risk of missing out on all of those messages.
But is there a danger of, well, if it doesn't speak to me or doesn't do it for me, then you're just going to say, well...
No, because Rabbi Nachman will say, you just have to try harder. Meaning, failure is not an option. There's no such thing as it doesn't speak to me. The only thing you can say is, it doesn't speak to me yet. Because I don't yet understand it. So I have to push myself harder to understand it. That's the Eitzah. That's Rabbi Nachman's Eitzah. If you don't understand the Seichel yet, that's fine. It takes a while to understand the Seichel. But there's no option saying, oh, it's not for me, I don't get it. You know, I'll pass. No such thing like that. Because you want to hear what the Ribono Shel Olam has to tell you.
Dangers you have in today's generations, you have a lot of people, I can piggyback on Leon, who's saying that there's sort of this, from maybe some of the misinformed, you're going to have this center of education, you sort of feel like, well, the Hashem that I understand wouldn't have an issue with this kind of thing.
Right.
Which I think is where that balance to be able to say that it doesn't speak to me, like, yeah.
Yeah, so look, there is no question that, I guess, bringing these two points together, you have to start with some level of just obedience, which is very countercultural. Right? We don't like to be obedient to anything. So there's just a certain level, like the Ribono Shel Olam is the boss. He tells me what to do, and I'm going to do it. I always have an inherent discomfort with that approach because I don't think it works for our dar. I think if you tell people, you know, yeah, you have to do something because the Ribono Shel Olam said so, it works for some. I don't think it works for many. So, as I like this idea, I think what Rabbi Nachman is opening up is a new vista. Rabbi Nachman says that the beauty of mitzvahs, even in a shatnez or something of the like, is there's a message. There's a message, and the exciting challenge of Yiddishkeit is to try to figure out the messages that the Ribono Shel Olam is broadcasting for me in those mitzvahs. But again, they're often not obvious. They often require a lot of work to dig deep beneath the surface to figure out what it is.
Someone dug it. Chinuch has a Sherish HaMitzvah.
Right. That is true. I think Rabbi Nachman is taking it even further, though, because if you notice, he uses a very interesting wording of seichel and not shoresh. He could have used shoresh. He's not just stopped talking about the reasons for mitzvos. He's talking about the expression of divine will through mitzvos. And whereas I think there could be some overlap with that, I think it could also be a little bit different. For example, you know, I'll give you just a good example, a simple example. Matnos kahuna, right? I have to give truma to a kohen. Why do I have to give truma to a kohen? Why? Because the kohen doesn't have land, right? So I have an obligation to support the kohen. And ultimately, again, he needs to devote himself fully to the base mitzvah. So I have to support him. That's the shorash mitzvah. Is that the seichal shal mitzvah? No, the seichal shal mitzvah really is that the Ribono Shel Olam is teaching me that there's value in supporting Tamidei Chachamim. That there's value in supporting spiritual infrastructure. That there's value ultimately in enabling others to spiritually grow, even if you don't have those same opportunities. So there's a chilik then between the shoresh, which is like the reason, the root, and the seichel, which is the expression of divine will.
Seichel is more abstract.
Seichel, I think, is more abstract. I think so. So we're going to skip a little bit. You see what I have over here, paragraph C. So let's skip a little bit. Vizet, now again, you should know the parts that I'm skipping is that Rabbi Nachman does a lot with like letters. And especially like letter exchange, you know, there's the at-dash system where ultimately again, you know, the first and last letters of the Aleph Beis correspond and so on and so forth, the second and last letter. He does a lot of that. We're not going to go through it only because we could get what we need to get out of it without going through that whole thing. So skip down to the bottom, paragraph C. Vizet bechinas yitzar tov yitzara. And says Rabbi Nachman, this is the deeper meaning of the Yetzer Tov and Yetzer Hara. What does this mean? Ki HaYetzer Tov, listen to how beautiful this is. Ki HaYetzer Tov, Nikra Miskein V'Chacham. The Yetzer Tov is called someone who is very wise. Bechinas Malchus Shehi Bechinas Aniya V'Dala Deles Le Megar Maklum Kol Echad Ma Shemekabeles Me'achachma. And the amazing part is the Yetzer Tov, Rabbi Osai. You know, every person has a different type of Yetzer Tov. For some of us, again, our Yetzer Tov is very rich. For others, our Yetzer Tov is very compromised. But everybody has a Yetzer Tov. The Yetzer Hara, Nikra Melech Zakin Uksil. So if the Yetzer Tov is called the Miskin V'Chacham, is called the wise one, So the Yetzer Hara is called the old foolish king. Bechinas Malchus de Sitra Achra She'ina Chafetza Bechachma Besecha. So we'll say, you know, the Yetzer Hara very rarely tries to get you to sin. Right? Because the Yetzer Hara doesn't have that level of power over us. Right? Because we're good people, we don't want to sin. The Yetzer Hara doesn't want me to sin. Rather, again, what does the Yetzer Hara do? Something much simpler. The Yetzer Hara gets me not to think. Right? Well, so it's very important to sow, especially in today's day and age. You don't have a guy standing on your shoulder with a pitchfork who's telling you, come on, go eat the chazer, you know, go eat the Big Mac. That's not our nisayon today. But you know what the Yetzer Hara does do? The Yetzer Hara makes us so busy that there's no time to think. The Yetzer Hara is the one who creates the shakes that if you don't check your phone in 5 minutes, right? Most of us check our phone probably more often than the President of the United States. And the truth is, we're a heck of a lot less important. Well, actually, maybe that's not true. I think that's back. Right? But the idea ultimately is, like, what's it really? Like, think about it for a second. Really? Be honest with yourself for just a moment. Do you need to be on your phone as often as you are? You need to mamish check your email as often as you do? I'm giving myself, I'm not giving you Musa, I'm giving all of us Musa. Like, really, we need to do that? We need to be on Facebook, WhatsApp, Instagram, Twitter, all this, all pretty good. Right? Thank you, Moshe. Thank you. Right? Do we need to do all that? And I saw your Facebook page. Right? So I liked you. Don't worry. I give you that. So, I will say, like, we need that. And understand what it does, right? Understand that we've created a culture of communication where we communicate the most stupid, inane, needless pieces of information. Who cares? Who cares what you ate for dinner? Who cares where you're going for dinner? Who cares where you went on summer vacation? Who cares what you're doing with your kids, right? Who cares that you took a selfie at the Rabbi Nachman Shir, right? Who cares about that? Really, like,
I think that's the ultimate issue, that most people are afraid to hear the fact that nobody cares.
Right, nobody cares, right? But the idea is, I will say, so what happens? So everybody's so busy. But the truth is, if we take a step back and ask ourselves, okay, we're all so busy, how productive were we today? Meaning, how much more productive could we have been had we lived out of it? I'm just pointing out, the Yetzer Hara, the way he works is, we just get so busy. I'm too busy to learn. I'm too busy to daven b'tzibur. I'm too busy to help out at home. I'm too busy this. I'm too busy. Really? It's an amazing thing. People who are very busy get tickets to the Orioles games, and a mamish, it's amazing, like Kriyas Yam Suf. Right, all of the waters of work and responsibility seem to part, and people do what they want. And by the way, going to the Orioles game is great; it's wonderful recreation. But the point is, if you have time for that, it's an incredible musar. Because if you have time for that, or you have time,
we interrupt. Said the Orioles is us.
Yeah. WhatsApp it if you don't mind. It's a little bit better. So you understand what Nir Rabbi Nachman is saying over here? That's what the Yetzer Hara doesn't get you to sin through sinning. The Yetzer Hara gets me in trouble because he teaches me not to look for seichel. Because he makes me so ridiculously busy, or at least think I'm so busy, that there's just no time to think about anything. And if there's no time to think about anything, then you know what? I'm not looking for the seichel in mitzvos. I'm not looking for anything deeper, and I just have a very superficial Judaism. He goes on. He says, "Bechinas lo yachpos ksil b'tvuna." This the Yetzer Hara, which is a fool. He doesn't want wisdom. V'tzorich kol echad liten koach lebechinas malchus dikdusha. What is life? The Ramchal writes this as well. Life is one big battle. And it's a battle between the Yetzer HaTov and the Yetzer Hara. Every single moment is a battle. And there is only one way to win the battle. There's only one way to allow the Yetzer Hara, the Yetzer HaTov, to trump the Yetzer Hara. And that's how? Through Seichel. Through Seichel. If you tap into the deeper meaning of mitzvos, if you tap into the understanding of what the Ratzon HaBori is, that's how you overcome the Yetzer Hara. Okay, she'amru Chazal, li'olam yargiz adam yitzer tov al Yetzer Hara. Remember, what did Chazal say? A person should always go ahead, and literally yargiz means excite his good inclination over his evil inclination. Va'al yidei man nosin koach l'malchus dikdusha. So we'll say, how does a person accomplish this? Al yidei ha-Torah shu osek b'koach. Through Torah, ultimately, that one engages in with incredible strength. Ukisha Amru Chazal, listen to this. Kmosha Amru Chazal, Impaga Bacha Menuvel Zeh. Listen to this. If that Menuvel, who's the menova that he's referring to? Who's the menova that Gemara's referring to over here? The Yitzhara. Right, listen to how the Gemara refers to that menova. If that menova bumps into you, Meshchihu lebeis hamedrash. And Boaz said, there is only one way to deal with the menova Yitzhara. And how is that? You bring him to the beis hamedrash. Ki ayidei Torah, no sin koach lemalchus de kedusha. Because let's remember, now let's begin to tap to bring this all together. Because what is
he? Malchus de Kedusha is a Lashon Mer Nachum. It's like a real funny Lashon. Malchus de Kedusha, I mean, that's probably coined by Rav Nachum.
Correct. Correct. We're going to see, he's actually, the next section, we'll do it next week in Meretz Hashem, he's going to discuss that term in much greater depth. Now listen to what Rabbi Nachman is saying over, and this is really amazing. So let's remember, let's follow the progression. We'll link it back to last week's share in just a moment. But the progression is like this. What's our avodah? Our avodah is not just simply to do the mitzvos. Our avodah is to find the seichel in the mitzvos, to find the expression of divine will. When I do a mitzvah, I have to ask myself, what message is the Ribono Shel Olam dispatching? What is the divine message? What is he trying to tell me through this mitzvah? When I understand divine seichel, that is how mitzvos ultimately go ahead and bring me closer to our Kodesh Baruch Hu. Says the Rebbe, that's also how we overcome the Yetzirah. The only way to really overcome the Yetzirah, because the Yetzirah, remember, is just trying to make me busy. The Yetzirah, the arch enemy of the Yetzirah is not the Yetzirah Tov. The arch enemy of the Yetzirah is Seichel. So, what did you say?
Productivity.
But Rabbi Nachman is going to call that Seichel. Seichel. Yetzirah can't stand it when you engage Seichel, because when you engage Seichel, you come closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So what does the Yetzirah do? Makes us so busy that there's no time to think about anything, and at most, I'm going to be lucky if I just go ahead and bang out the mitzvah, so that I'm just behaviorally doing it, but I'm not thinking, I'm not contemplating, I'm not trying to figure out what the divine will is. There's no time. There's no time. Therefore, what does the Gemara say? If I'm struggling with the Yetzirah, I'll say, so what's the Yetzirah? If you're struggling with the Yetzirah, Mashchele Beis HaMedrash, bring to the Beis HaMedrash. Now that's very nice, but I'm not in the Beis HaMedrash, right? I'm in my office. So what does that mean? Rabbi Nachman says, it doesn't literally mean bring him into, I mean, it can mean literally bring him into the Beis HaMedrash. Rabbi Nachman says what it means is, you have to engage in Torah on a deeper level. That you have to, when you learn and when you do the mitzvos, don't just do it superficially, but rather look for the seichel, look for the divine message in it. If you live your Judaic life like that, where you're looking for the seichel and mitzvos, then what? Then I will overcome the Yetzer Hara. And then I will say, if you link this back to last week's shir, again, that's the chen. That's the chen. Why does Torah produce chen? Torah produces chen because what greater way to find, let's say, think about it in context of a marriage, right? What are the times when your wife is happiest? Maybe this is too open-ended of a question. No, on a serious note. What? I know, maybe I shouldn't open this up to the floor. Right? So I'll tell you. The time that a person's life is happiest is when, like, you understand her without her having to explain it to you, right? We get ourselves in greatest trouble when apparently, I was supposed to understand what you were thinking and what you meant, even though you didn't articulate it to me. I don't know how I'm supposed to pull that off, but that's our job as husbands. I will say, but once in a while, when you're able to pull that off, it's like mamish, it's like incredible. It's incredible, right? Mamish, like...
You can write it for a song.
I'm sorry, I was going to say week and a half, but okay. Right? I will say, that moment where like a wife goes, oh my gosh, he gets me. He understands me. He was mechaving to what I was thinking, and I didn't even have to spell it out for that guy, like I always have to do it, right? Like he got it. So that's the Ribono Shel Olam ones also. The greatest expression of love is when I say Ribono Shel Olam, I got it. Like I understand. I know what you want from me, and even though again you didn't spell it out explicitly, I'm tapped into your frequency. And once I'm tapped into your frequency, I understand what you want. I understand how you want it. I understand when you want it. I understand what you want me to do. That creates chen. That creates that favor. And that's, again, linking it all the way back. That's why, again, says Rabbi Nachman, the importance of learning before davening is that, again, davening, remember, represents that dialogical connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm dialoguing with God. How do I make that dialogue even more meaningful? If there's chen. How do you create the chen? How do you find favor in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? When the Ribono Shel Olam feels that his child is actively trying to understand what he wants from him, that's chen. So you learn the Torah, Torah creates the chen. Chen allows our tefillos to not just be heard, but to be accepted. And Rabbi Nachman takes it one step further. This is the way to overcome Yetzer Hara. Because Yetzer Hara just simply wants us to go through life without thinking. Plus, I will tell you, I said this, I spend a lot of time with dying people. And Mamish, I've been there many times in people's last moments. And if I tell you how many people express remorse for not living meaningful lives. And you know what? They never thought about it in their 30s. And they never thought about it in their 40s. Because who thinks about meaning in their 30s and 40s, right? We're focused on a whole bunch of other things. But you know, life goes by very quickly. Very quickly. And once the Yetzer Hara gets entrenched, he gets entrenched, and we can live. I want to tell you, we know this. You could be in your 30s or in your 40s, and with a blink of an eye, you're in your 80s. And you might have a lot of money, and you might have a lot of possessions, and you might have built, beautiful Baruch Hashem, something wonderful in a Gashmi level. But sometimes a person can be spiritually bankrupt with their spiritual accomplishments. I have nothing to show. And you know, when we're young, we could find a lot of chizuk in our material accomplishments. As you get older, well, see, you know, life is a big cycle, right? If you ever look, babies and old people want the same thing, and that's what? Not exactly the way I was going to go, but all right. They just want simple human attention, right? Right? A baby wants its mother, old people want their children, or one just want to be appreciated. Well, so life is a full circle. All those things that are important to us now, I give you a money-back guarantee, they're not going to be important to us. We'll be learning together when we're in our 80s. Right? We'll be sitting in Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, and we're going to remember, oh, do you remember when we started this year, and we were in our 30s, we were in our 40s, and you remember again what was important to us then? You know, we'll say, what's important to us now, it's not the same thing that's going to be important to us when we're in our 80s. And the problem is that's where the Yetzer Hara gets his foothold. He doesn't get us to sin. We're very good behavioral Jews. He just gets us not to think. And in a blink of an eye, an entire lifetime goes by. And what do I have to show for it? Like, I didn't accomplish half the things that I could have. Therefore, says Rabbi Nachman, that's why it's so important to learn. And not just learn, but when we learn, when we do the mitzvos, to understand what the Ribono Shel Olam actually wants of us in those mitzvos. That knowledge, that seichel creates the chen, that chen creates the connection. Right, so we'll stop over here for tonight. Again, we're still in the middle of Maimer Aleph. We'll pick up with Emir Tisham next week. We just shut up the recording. Yeah, what was the question, Yaakov?